Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, well, let's pose a question right now. Open line for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about assurance of salvation. You know, every believer has eternal security. That's just something that God has designed as far as the salvation of yours is concerned. When he saves you, he saves you completely. You are eternally secure. It is by grace at the beginning. It's by grace in the middle. It's by grace at the end. So he's going to preserve you. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep you. That's just his job. So that's what salvation, it's all on his shoulders. It's from him and it's for us. That's what eternal security is all about. Now, one of the things that we have to realize that gives us an understanding of that eternal security is what salvation really is. It is much more than just forgiveness of sins. It is the giving of life. You and I were dead spiritually. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were separated from the life of God. And the reason we were separated from the life of God was because of sin. The wages of sin is death. So when Jesus showed up in John chapter 10, for example, he said, "I have come that you might have life." But before Jesus could give us life, he had to deal with the sin issue. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did through his death on the cross. He dealt sin a fatal blow. Yeah. He dealt with it once and for all. We see this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. "You know that he appeared," and this is Jesus, "to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So he came that we might have life," mm-hmm. "but he also appeared to take away our sins." Well, guess what he did? He took away our sins. So the cause of death has now been removed. One of my buddies years ago gave this illustration about this great salvation. Say somebody has died of cancer. If you wanted to bring them back to life, what all would you have to do? Well, first you'd have to take the cancer out. Well, why? Because if you gave them back some life and the cancer was still there, the cancer would just cause death again. Mm-hmm. So you first have to deal with the cause of death, and once you do that, then you can give life.
Yes.
And that life is going to be eternal. So Jesus dealt with the cause of death. He took away our sins once and for all. And not only did he take them away, he declared us to be righteous. And in that transaction, he was able to give us life so that we could be saved completely,
yeah.
So that we could experience that life forever. So how do you know that you have eternal security? Well, take a look at the cross. He has removed the cause of death once and for all, so that once you are made alive together with Christ, you are made alive together with him forever.
Yes, indeed.
So, folks, you are eternally secure in Christ. And as that truth really soaks deep down into your soul, then you're going to walk in that confidence as a child of God.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. In line with what Bob has just been talking about, we're offering our donors a wonderful new CD resource this month called Eternal Security. If you are a new creation, you are safe and secure in Jesus. But not everyone has that assurance. What about you? We want everyone to have that assurance of their salvation. And as our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of Eternal Security as you make your gift. Now click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And of course, in Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. When you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Well, we have open lines for you right now. If it's about 4 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. That number, 844-322-2742, is available in the U.S. and Canada. 844 877-322-2742. Guys, I had this question from Travis. He says, first of all, thank you, brothers, and for spreading the good news of God's grace, love, and life for us. I like to exercise, and particularly a particular regimen I do has yoga included. I like the flexibility parts of yoga, but I've heard talk about where it originated and the negative aspect of the poses, idolatry, opening up to demon oppression, and so forth. I am a fellow believer in our Lord Jesus Christ and live in God's grace, but I still wonder about this issue of yoga.
Well, it's a good question, and I think if you have a question about it, I would take that as a kind of a red flag, a warning to be careful. You know, there's a lot that, and exercise and those sort of things that, combine meditation with the exercising. Mm-hmm. And what that really is kind of a mindless meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Word of God, we see that we are to be renewing the mind with truth. So we need to be filling this mind of ours with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be thinking upon things that are lovely and pure and
lovely and pure and all the good things that are associated with
that
the Lord
entire
Jesus.
List of things that Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 4. So we're not to be mindless meditators. We're to actually put something of substance in these minds.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's really of substance is truth. So this world that we live in is a constant battle between truth and error. So Satan is dominating this world with lies. He lured Adam and Eve to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with a lie. He twisted scripture. And it was through that lie that he deceived Eve, and she ate, and then she convinced and persuaded Adam to eat along with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that lie has been the operative force in the world system ever since. And so all these different New Age religions and different philosophies are just different twists of the same old lie. So we have to be aware of the error that's out there in the world.
Yeah.
And we don't want to give ourselves over to error. Why? Because error leads to bondage. Truth sets us free. So we need to always be aware of these things. Richard, do you have any thoughts?
Ask the teacher. If the person who is leading the class is doing it for purely stretching and flexibility and exercise purposes, you're probably not getting caught up in anything. But there are many, many yoga teachers out there who buy into the philosophy as well. And they will happily tell you, if you've got one of those, then I would say, back away. If you don't have one of those, in this case, let the Spirit lead you. If the Spirit is telling you not to do yoga, don't do yoga. Find something else. There's plenty of other ways to get the proper stretching and all of that. The key is not to do any of this by fear. Do it by truth, just like
right.
you were saying.
Right.
What is the Spirit telling you, and how is it consistent with how the Spirit is renewing your mind and teaching you to think clearly and to choose wisely?
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with the Spirit.
As WT just commented on our YouTube page, set your mind on things above,
mm-hmm.
Where Christ is. That's where truth is going to be. And so we just need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
The battleground is between truth and error.
Yeah.
And never, ever, ever forget that. And so if you have some caution and a sense of warning about something, heed that.
Pay attention.
Really pay attention to it. Dive in a little deeper and do some research, find out on your own, and then make a decision.
Yeah. Well, Travis, we hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. Again, 844-322-2742, open lines for you right now. Friends, we have a growing number of people that are joining us every day, the live stream on Facebook and YouTube, and we hope you'll become one of that number. It's a wonderful new, well, actually not new, but it's a wonderful venue where you can actually join us and see inside the studio as we do the program broadcast every day. So that's on Facebook and YouTube, the live stream every day. Guys, we had a sad note from Michelle who says, she says, I lost my teenage daughter in an accident. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, and we know that we'll see each other again, but do you have any insights on what it will be like in heaven? Will we recognize each other? Maybe it doesn't matter, but it's a constant question on my mind.
Well, we will be able to recognize each other. We're getting new bodies. We're getting resurrection bodies, spiritual bodies. Jesus, just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And people didn't initially recognize him. But I think they didn't recognize him because they really believed that he was dead. And they didn't realize that resurrection was an actual possibility. But once resurrection kind of entered their mind and they realized that God did have power over death, then they recognized Jesus. They saw him for who he was, and they called him by name. So just as they were able to recognize those disciples and those early followers of Jesus, just as they were able to recognize Jesus in his resurrected form, we're going to be able to recognize one another. And I think that's good news. That's part of our hope. So, yes, you will be able to recognize your daughter. She'll be able to recognize you. And count on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is really true.
Yeah, that's part of the hope we have. I mean, Jesus was victorious over death, and therefore we will be victorious over death in him. Then I love the story of Mary at the tomb, right? Oh, where have you taken my Lord? And when he spoke her name.
Oh, instant recognition.
There was the recognition. Yeah. Because not only did she notice his looks, but she heard his heart. Mm. She knew who it was based on how he spoke. And, you know, I'm a hearing person, music and all that. I hear people more than I see people. Mm-hmm. And that gets me in trouble sometimes because I'm not paying attention. But we will recognize each other. I mean, we're not going to be amorphous blobs floating around in some ethereal space. This is going to be real, physical, new earth, mm-hmm. new life. New bodies, new everything.
Yeah,
that's better than anything we've got now.
Yeah, that is great news. You know, friends, if the true gospel message you hear each day on this program is making a difference for you, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. Your gift can help us reach them as well. So click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of the new CD audio series called Eternal Security as our thanks for your donation during the month of February. Well, again, open lines, 844-322-2742. If you can't join us for the live broadcast, if you're hearing a delayed broadcast, you can use that number as well to get your question to us. We'd love for you to use it any time, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. We have this question, what is the truth about conviction? Does God convict us of sin, or are we convicted by our own spirits?
Well, I don't think God has to convict us of sin. I mean, we know what it is.
Yes.
We're in the light, so just the very light of Christ living in us shines brightly, and we see things for what they really are. When we were in darkness, we didn't see sin for what it really was. Mm-hmm. Today, we get to see it for what it really is. And so I don't think the Spirit has to come and say, wow, that's sin. I think we just know it. What the Spirit needs to convict us of is that God still loves us in the midst of that.
Yes.
That God is still in us in the midst of that. That God is never going to stop working in and through us, even when we choose to do those horrendous things. So that's what the Spirit is all about, convincing us of the love of Jesus Christ, Richard.
Yeah, I think we spend altogether too much time looking for the negative in things. Like when we talk about confession, we think, oh, man, it must be about sin. And if we're talking about being convicted or conviction, we're only thinking about it in terms of sin. Well, we've talked about confession a few times over the last few weeks. The good confession is the confession that Jesus is Lord and that he's been risen from the dead.
Right.
Jesus confesses his children before the Father in Revelation. Those are hugely positive things, and they far outweigh any confession of sin we think we should do. The same thing is true about conviction. Mm-hmm. I need to be convinced, convicted of the truth of the gospel, because there's so much noise out there that I'm easily dissuaded from it. But when I begin to realize the truth of the resurrection, the truth of forgiveness, the truth of the assurance we've been talking about earlier today, the truth of our future and all of the things that are true in Jesus, that gives me a foundation upon which to start believing and changing and moving through life.
Yeah, and we see in John 16, you know, God sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world wrong. So there's a conviction out there in the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is convicting in the sense of turning somebody away from death so that they can receive life in Jesus Christ. Once we have life, the Holy Spirit is all about helping us experience that life to the full. Mm-hmm. So if we are walking in unbelief in an area, we're giving in to the desires of the flesh, we know that. We know what's going on. Maybe we don't see the core, what's really happening at the depths. And that's where the Spirit reasons with us and helps us see what's really going on there so that we can begin to walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to do his work in and through us.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. And guys, we had this question from Taylor concerning Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like a light, like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Could you please explain this for us? Is this for today or only for that particular place and time?
Well, I'm sure he's asking about authority over demons and that sort of thing, but what's for all time is the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where our rejoicing comes from. Now, we like to rejoice in the fact that we have power over things in this world, that we can speak, and what we speak to responds and does what we say.
Mm-hmm.
We like that. That's just part of being human. Jesus is saying, hey, that's not where it's at. Here's where it's at. The fact that you have life in my name and that you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, rejoice there, because that took something far more powerful than what you can experience here. And that's the power of God to give life to someone who was dead in sin. So I think it's, you know, if you look at the conclusion, what Jesus really points out, then that should become our assurance and joy today as well. We shouldn't be boasting about the great things we're doing for God and all of those sort of things. We should be rejoicing in the fact that we've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Have these things happened? Yes, they have happened. God has worked through people at various times to do these things.
Sure.
But it's his call, his power, his timing. It's not me running out going, "Well, watch me, folks." That's a great way to get run over by a truck.
Yes.
Just be happy, rejoice that your name is written in heaven.
That's exactly right. Well, we had a Facebook question from Joe. Joe wants to know about this passage in Matthew 24 But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So his question, or what are your thoughts on the return of the days of Noah concerning the Nephilim? Is that really in this passage, or is he just looking at the underlying attitude, the fact that the world was so into their own evil of their hearts that they were totally unaware of what was going on as far as God was concerned?
I think that's the case. I mean, if you just look around, we're living in days exactly like Noah right now. The vast majority of people who were living in the world today could care less about anything other than the things they want to do and the things they want to feel and all of that. I used to be one of those people, so it's just the way the world is. Thank God Jesus came and the Spirit convicts me of that unbelief and then brings me to truth and life, and life does change. But this has nothing to do with Nephilim. You can go a long, long ways talking about the Nephilim and get nowhere. It's a lot more heat than light, and I think we should just leave it where it is in Genesis. Obviously, something was going on that was evil.
Yes.
Was it evil angels? No. I will categorically state that. Satan's minions, or himself, were not procreating with humanity. God doesn't allow that. And so this was the sons of God and the daughters of men, and terrible things were resulting. And we shouldn't be surprised at all that there were giants in the land. Their human genome back in those days was far more advanced than ours is today. We've been degenerating for thousands of years. And so don't be surprised by it. Pay attention to the point. People were blind. And even in the face of something as bizarre as an ark being built, they were still blind until it was too late.
Absolutely. Well, here's a question from Jose. He says, can you explain James 4, verses 4 through 6? It reads, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? So Jose's question is, does that mean that we should not be friends with people who aren't saved?
Well, it's not about people. It's about with the world system. When we come into this world, we are following the ways of this world. So we're in friendship with the world. We're in harmony with the world. So if you're in harmony with the world, you're, as Paul says, you're a child of wrath. You're by nature a child of wrath. And that's what we're rescued from. And so when we're saved, we are snatched out of the world system, and we are placed in Christ. Mm-hmm. So now we're a friend of Christ, and therefore an enemy of the world system. So if you're an adulterer, or if you're friends with the world system, it's basically saying, hey, you're following the ways of this world. You need to be rescued from that.
Yes.
You need to be released from that and taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the one God loves, Jesus Christ himself, taken out of darkness and into light.
Yes, indeed. Well, good stuff, guys. Thank you. And we appreciate hearing from our listeners who drop us a line or send a voicemail to allow us to answer their questions. And friends, I want to remind you, of course, that Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, has cleared the fog for many, many people, pointing them to truth in regard to this gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are struggling in your Christian life, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace can point you to the answer. Visit basicgospel.net and click that link right at the top of the homepage and learn how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime, day or night. It doesn't matter. Weekday, weekend, anytime it's available. Again, that's at 844-322-2742. And we would love to hear from you and address your question here at Basic Gospel. A quick reminder also about the live stream that we do every day to Facebook and YouTube. And you can pose a question as you listen and view the broadcast here at Basic Gospel. And again, we'd love to hear from you in that way as well. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.